Welcome to The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. This hour, you're going to meet someone who was an answer on Jeopardy. That's how good she is about making you care about natural disasters. Dr. Lucy Jones' book is called Big Ones, How Natural Disasters Have Shaped Us and What We Can Do About Them. New details have emerged about the Washington State family that was killed last month when they drove off a California cliff. Documents obtained by the Seattle Times show the extent of child abuse allegations against the mothers of the six adopted children. Oregon state officials knew about the family's history of alleged child abuse, but ultimately, Oregon decided there wasn't enough evidence to take action. Seattle Times reporter Nina Shapiro is here. Thank you, Nina, for coming.
Thanks for having me on.
We're talking about the Hart family, the mothers, Jen and Sarah Hart, and six children, two of whom are still missing. What did the state of Oregon know about the family?
Well, they knew quite a lot. It was quite stunning when we got the documents yesterday and saw just how many accusations they were aware of. So it wasn't just accusations that they heard from their time in Oregon. And two people called in separately to complain about abuse while the family was living in Oregon. But in addition to that, there were a whole series of allegations that occurred when the family lived in Minnesota. And there were six separate allegations and incidents that they knew of from that time.
So what kind of allegations?
Well, it was quite consistent. It ranged from actual beating. So there was a domestic assault conviction that one of the women had from what she described as a spanking that got out of control. But there were also numerous allegations of withholding food from the kids. And in Minnesota, the kids would come to school and they were frequently taking food from other people. Or one of the girls said to a school nurse one day that she hadn't eaten that day. And when the children were interviewed, they talked about being punished by not being given a meal and then sent straight to bed. There were also these strange accounts of the women putting the children to bed or in a corner or in a darkened space for hours at a time as punishment. There was a case that came in, this was in Oregon, where the children, because of some pizza that was eaten in the middle of the night, were put in a room, all of the children lined up with face masks over their faces and kept there for 5 hours, just doing nothing.
I want to ask about how Oregon officials, what they made of allegations like that. I do want to add a detail that is the reason why some people already have known about this family, and that is that famous photograph of a black boy hugging a cop. Will you just tell us what that was about?
Right. So that was at a protest in Oregon over police brutality, and the boy, whose name was Devante, was shown hugging a police officer. He was a child who frequently wore this sign that said free hugs around him, and he did on that day. There's a whole free hugs movement. And there were tears streaming down his face. And so at the time, it was seen as and described as this very moving incident and kind of an outreach to police officers. But you have to wonder, looking back, if there was something else going on when the child was crying.
Yeah. That photo was on Facebook pages, et cetera, all over. So, as you said, there had already been incidents reported about the Hart family from when they lived in Minnesota. Oregon child welfare officials knew about those reports and a couple in Oregon. So what do we know about why they decided that Sarah and Jen Hart could still be parents to these kids?
So they interviewed the family, including the children, and they interviewed the children one by one, and the children said that they were treated fine and that there wasn't any abuse happening. The children were also taken to a doctor. The doctor showed almost all of them as being below normal weight and growth, and yet still expressed no concern about that. And that seemed to be the reason why they came up with this determination. I think the puzzling thing is, you know, the determination was that there was some reason to believe that neglect and mistreatment might have occurred, but not enough to say that it had occurred. And yet there was no follow-up whatsoever. So the family actually lived in Oregon for 4 years after that, before they moved to Washington. And you would think that given everything they knew, and given the fact that they decided there was some reason to believe some abuse had occurred, that there would be some kind of follow-up, but that's apparently not how they do things.
Well, state officials are generally reluctant to separate families. I mean, how much can you know as a reporter about whether this was an unusual case of evidence, allegations being ignored?
I think that's true, and it's easy to look back in hindsight. When you do look back in hindsight, it just seems to be such a volume of evidence that it seems like it's pretty clear what was going on. When you're in the moment trying to assess, maybe not, to give them the benefit of the doubt. But I think, you know, another thing that's going on in this case is that the children were taken from other families, you have to remember,
mm-hmm.
back in Texas. So the Harts adopted these children. They're two sets of siblings from Texas. And, you know, at least one of those families have said, you know, they're so quick to take children from us, and yet these children were left with the Harts. So
what did they mean by take so quick to take children from us?
I think I'm presuming, you know, it's a family of color. It's a poor family. The mother was addicted to drugs, so there's that. And that's often a reason why children are taken away. But when you say the state is reluctant to separate families, well, I think yes and no. I mean, there's an argument to be made that in some cases they might be acting too quickly. You know, there's a whole lot of things that go on to those decisions, but certainly in the case of this one family, the kids had been living with an aunt, and there are questions about whether they really should have taken those kids from the aunt and put them with the Harts.
What did Jen and Sarah Hart say in their defense?
So both in Minnesota and in Oregon, they presented themselves as misunderstood. They lived an alternative lifestyle. They were a lesbian couple. They were vegetarians. They were part of this music festival community. They did yoga. And they presented that by way of saying, you know, people see them as kind of weird. And then, you know, the race also played in, and the fact that they were gay. So I think they presented this as, you know, people are targeting us because we're a lesbian couple and we have kids of color. And then the other thing that they would consistently say is that the children had a whole lot of issues because of their biological families. So they kept telling people that the families they came from, you know, had problems with drugs, that the kids may have had drugs in their system, had been around violence, and that they had food issues. So that was another thing they kept saying, especially when these reports came in that the kids were taking food from other people or said they were hungry, and the Harts would keep saying, you know, because of their background, they had food issues. So it was really interesting. One of the things that was in these Oregon documents is a statement from a Minnesota worker who talked to an Oregon official and said, you know, these women look normal. And so when they talk about all these problems that the kids have, people tend to think it's the kids who have problems and not the parents.
Huh. Because a moment ago you were saying the parents are saying, oh, we're seen as weird, but this Minnesota child welfare worker says these women look so normal. What do you think that meant?
I think they meant they looked like middle-class white people. You know, one of Sarah was employed. She was a manager at a department store. They presented well, presumably. They were college-educated. Presumably, they were articulate. You know, in that sense, they seem normal. In one sense, because, you know, they were a lesbian couple, that wasn't so normal, certainly in the small Alexandria town they were living in. But whether that can be used as an excuse for everything that was going on, that seems dubious.
We're talking with Seattle Times reporter Nina Shapiro, who's been reporting on the disastrous story of the Hart family, who lived in Washington State briefly and died after driving off a cliff in California. So this family, the Harts, moved from Oregon to Southwest Washington.
That's right.
Last year. And how much did Washington State officials know about past problems, allegations?
So we don't know that, but what happened in Washington happened really quickly. So the kids had been coming over to one neighbor's house for quite some time, asking for food or in one case fleeing from abuse that she said happened. But the neighbor actually reported the incident or reported her concerns on March 23rd, and by March 24th, the family was gone. And then a couple of days later, they were found dead. So Washington CPS came out the day that the neighbor's report came in. You know, after that, they didn't have really any time to investigate.
What do we know about the death of the Harts and their children?
Well, we know that Jen was legally drunk. Jen was the driver, and we know she was legally drunk when they drove off the cliff. We know that Sarah and two of the children had allergy medication in their bodies, which may have made them drowsy. We know that the car seemed to be going at an above-average speed when it went over, and there were no marks at the site indicating that the car tried to brake. But beyond that, it's conjecture. But the authorities down there are saying that it may well have been that they drove over the cliff intentionally.
And Nina, what do you've done all this reporting, trying to piece together this terrible story, and what are you left with? What could we take away from this story?
Maybe that things aren't always as they appear, and you really never know what's going on inside someone's house. You know, Sarah and Jen had, at least on Facebook, presented this image of being very loving parents.
They were foster parents. They adopted six children.
Right. They had pictures of everybody smiling and doing outdoorsy things and going to farms and all that kind of stuff. And then behind the scenes, this crazy and seemingly terrible stuff seemed to be going on. And you really just never know.
Is there any unanswered question for you? One big, you know, we still want to know this. There are still two children missing, but I don't know how that plays into what we do know.
Well, I guess I have to wonder if there were mental health issues going on, certainly with Jen, who seems to have been the driver in that relationship and controlling of a lot of the parenting behavior. So from a family point of view, you know, it's still unclear why things played out the way they did and why they were doing these kinds of behaviors, if indeed they were. And then from the point of view of officials, I would say the questions relate to what kind of follow-up they do and, you know, what happens in a case like this where there is a pretty extensive pattern of accusations, but where they can't quite prove it.
Yeah. We want to learn something, but we don't know whether that's going to happen. Seattle Times reporter Nina Shapiro telling us what we know and don't know about the Hart family. Up to the point at which they drove their van off a cliff in California. Nina, thanks for coming in. Thanks for telling us the story.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to The Record on KUOW, and we're going to be right back in just a moment.